church again. My mic just. My mic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah,
we're
here. All right.
Yes.
I've not had my glasses for like. When was Uncle Wayne and Anita's wedding shower?
Last weekend.
Wedding shower.
Oh, wow.
Since then. So I've been walking around kind of blind. But you guys didn't know.
Now you see, bro.
Amen. Well, I am happy to be in front of you guys and blessed to be able to preach my part of this three-part sermon.
Yeah.
Right? And like Michael was saying when he introduced, the title of our sermon today is Got Faith. This Got Faith question mark. Boom. And you guys remember the advertisements for Got Milk, right? Those things were everywhere when I was a kid. See people with a milk mustache. Boom. That was the inspiration. We're like, Got Faith. And we're going to focus on Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3 today. But in order to go into Got Faith, we need to understand the actual definition of what faith is. So let's turn over to Hebrews 11, verse 1. And it reads, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So that's going to be the point. You're going to hear me mention it. You're going to hear John mention it. You're going to hear Ramon mention it. And the whole point of today is, do we really have faith? And that's the question that's being posed. Because there are many ideas of what faith is, but God is very clear on it. It's right there. That's the one definition. You don't got to go to Webster. You don't got to go to Google. Just turn to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Remember that for the rest of your life. The rest of Hebrews 11 is actually lived out in day-to-day situations. And it talks about the people who lived with confidence and what they hope for and assurance of what they didn't see. And as a Christian, faith is something we apply to our lives every day. Right? And what I like about Hebrews 11 is I'm a sports guy. I love watching football, basketball. I'm into soccer now, thanks to Dave Salazar. Right? And one thing I read that I'll never forget is it talks about Hebrews 11 as the Hall of Faith. Right? And we know in sports, the Hall of Fame, or even in music, the Hall of Fame is somewhere where only the best of the best go.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm excited because my favorite football player of all time, Ray Lewis, is getting inducted to the Hall of Fame. And David, I can see him right now, he doesn't like that. But having read what the definition of faith is, let's go into Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. All right, and it reads, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I'm going to focus on verse 1. My point, my big point is, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Right? Picture the Hall of Faith that I mentioned. And the qualification to get into this Hall of Faith is got faith. Right? And the Hall of Faith is filled only with the people whose lives say, not their words, yes, I have faith. And it's full of people whose daily lives show that. My first question is, if your life was being considered for the Hall of Faith, would you be inducted?
Come on, yeah. Come on.
Point A. I just got two sub-points. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, / repentance, / Right? And I think to throw off everything that hinders, the first thing that we have to do is throw off our own definition of faith. Like, let's just, boom, just throw it out right now. Just forever, Hebrews 11, verse 1, remember. And I think today it's very easy to come up with our own definition or even take what other people say it is and apply it to our lives. In our lives, if we follow that, that's what's going to hinder us, first and foremost, and everything else follows after that. And our lives need to show where our faith is, and it does. And there's so many different examples in the Bible. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. You don't have to turn there. He says, for we live by faith and not by sight. And in the scripture, he's talking to people who are Christians. So that's a practical how we put faith into action. We You take Hebrews 11 verse 1 and put it into action. And if you don't live your life by faith, the true definition of it, then you're not a person of faith and you can't be called a Christian. And it's very easy to live by what we see and to only believe in what we can see. But that's not faith. In actuality, that's doubt. To just live by what you see. And it's doubt because you're not believing in what God says. God calls us to believe in his promises without seeing it first. If you go back and read all of Hebrews 11, not just verse 1, you just see it. All of these people, like, a lot of them, all of them, never saw God's promise come to fruition. But they lived their lives as if, I'm going to see this.
Come on. Yeah. Come on.
And you see how it affected their lives. These heroes in the Hall of Faith threw off things that would hold back their faith, and they chose to live a life of confidence in what they hoped for. But also, too, we take comfort in the fact that these were not perfect people,
yeah.
Right? Because we're not perfect people. I mean, you could go back and read up on all of them, Genesis 1 through Revelation chapter 22. That's the whole Bible, by the way. And you get all those examples. And I would encourage you to do it. You know, it's hard to, where are you going to find your motivation from if it's not from the Bible to live a life of faith? And that's a personal conviction that I've developed. It's like, I need to be in my word every day. I need to be deep in it, right? Because how else am I going to develop my faith? And we see that these imperfect people came back from some crazy things in their lives. And they decided, I'm going to throw off this sin and I'm going to continue to live my life of faith for God. And personally, there have been times in my walk that I've let things in my past and even sins that I've committed as a disciple hang on to me. And I feel bad, I feel ashamed, and I feel like, all right, you know, God's not going to really be able to use me. You know, I'm forever hindered by this. But then I have to remember that since I've confessed and repented from it, God has forgiven me, and now I can move forward in this race. It no longer hinders me. Right? God has marked out a race for me, and a race for everyone in this room so that you can serve him. But if you don't confess and repent, then it's impossible to continue in this race. It really is. In 1 John 1, verse 7 to 9, don't turn there, you don't have to. John just talks about walking in the light, confessing our sins, and God forgiving us and purifying us from unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 7, this is Paul's letter to the church in Corinth about repentance. And this repentance came from their godly sorrow, not worldly sorrow. So in order to continue running in this race, we need to embrace repentance in our daily lives. And it's not just something we do once. It's a continual process that we have to continue to do. Because we know that this race is a marathon. And it's the longest marathon of our lives, not just 26.2 miles. And I would never run a 26.2 mile race. That's not me. I think a lot of people today, we think that if we just say, I'm sorry for what I'm doing, but we keep on doing the wrong, that God will work it out, but it doesn't work that way.
Come on, bro.
Right? The Bible paints a clear picture of repentance being about us agreeing with God about our sin and then deciding, I'm going to live differently.
Yeah.
It's an 180 degree turn from your sinful ways and deciding, let me look at Jesus and walk on this path that leads to him.
Yeah.
And it's a great thing. You know, it seems intimidating and daunting at times, but again, personal experience, and I wouldn't tell you guys if I didn't believe this and didn't experience it, it's refreshing and it's freeing.
Yeah.
You ever confess something in your life and you're just like, wow, I feel the sun is shining.
Yeah.
Everything, there's fresh air, like I don't feel bound anymore.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage everybody, if there's anything that God has revealed in your lives, he's like, repent of this. Do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
This is faith in action.
Yes.
Second point, run with perseverance. And I really, really love this point. Like, I really love it.
Yeah.
The second part of Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us.
Yeah.
And I actually looked up the definition for perseverance. It says, steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Some synonyms would be persistence and determination. Use any of those three, just do it. And anyone can get excited about something when it first starts out, right? You think, new job, I'm gonna be the best at this job, flipping burgers, or I'm gonna be the best social worker in the world, whatever your job is, or whatever, I'm gonna be the fittest person on earth your first day in the gym, right? It's easy to be like, this is gonna be great. This is gonna be nice. And then a week ends. Can you continue when the hard times come? As a Christian, there's so many hard times. So many. It seems like at times it's not just one, but just like five different things hitting you at once. Right? You just get out of bed. It's like, oh, why me? Yeah. Right? And I know I felt that way. I have felt that way. And we have to remember, though, that as Christians, the most important part of this life is the end of the race, which is heaven. Nothing else in between that has nothing to do with getting to heaven matters. None of it. But it's easy to forget that. It's easy to get caught up in this world here and be like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I don't know if I can do this. Will you be able to finish this race? Maybe sometimes you tell yourself, I don't have what it takes. I know I've told myself that. And you know what? It's true. But if you're telling yourself that, it's great and necessary to be real with yourself. But that's when you ask and beg God, God, give me what it takes so I can finish this race. Because honestly, who comes into being a Christian having what it takes? Nobody. Nobody. Only person who came to earth like having everything and like, I got this, was Jesus. But he even gave us an example in his life where he's like, God, help me. Right? This is someone who came from heaven and lived this life on earth. He's like, no, I still need God's help. That's the example that we can follow in our daily lives. And I encourage you guys to go read about Jesus more too and learn about how he did that. If you have faith, you'll be asking God for help in finishing this race. To run it, you don't just do it when it's convenient or easy. You do it every day. You don't take any days off, no weekends off. It's not 9 to 5, it's 24/7. And it's until you see the Lord again. Perseverance, persistence, determination. And sadly, people without faith will leave when it gets hard. And if you quit, then you don't really have faith. You have none at all. You have a worldly definition of faith. Your life is going to reflect whether or not you actually have faith, so words won't be needed at the end. And just like these heroes of faith, none of us are perfect. But when we fall short, we continue to get up and run with perseverance. And that is what a Christian does. We do this. Right? We say, I does this. Say it. I does this. I does this. Come on. I'm a college guy. I does this.
That's what I does.
I want to teach him back. What college?
Guys, if we do this, we are confident in what we hope for and sure of what we don't see. And if we're running with perseverance, our lives are going to say, I got faith. We won't need to say anything. Because we didn't quit. When we failed, we learned. And when we hit obstacles, we prayed. And in the end, there was just no quit in our lives. So let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance this race marked out for us. And as believers, we've been given an example to follow. Hebrews 12, verse 1. And it's a call to action. So what is our response going to be? What is your life going to say when it's time to be considered for the Hall of Faith? Amen? With that, John's going to come up and continue.
Come on, Nick. Come on, John.
Thank you, Nick. That was awesome. That definition of faith that you get from Hebrews 11 is, wow, it's amazing. So, church, I have my own third part of sermon, obviously, that's why I'm up here. Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. So, wow. Amen.
Come on, John.
Sorry, guys. What's going on here? Amen. The title to my part of the sermon is How Do We Define Ourselves as Faithful People, right? So, we go to Hebrews 12, verse 2. It reads, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yeah. So, the question we've been asking, Do you have faith? Do we got faith? That's the question, right? With that question, you know, I think about it. How do I define myself as a faithful person? You know, you look back at verse 2, it's so challenging about how we define ourselves as faithful people. You know, I got 2 points. The first point is, a person of faith is not someone who just doesn't do bad things. You know, before I studied the Bible, you know, growing up, going to different churches, you would have asked me, are you a Christian? I would say, yeah. Why are you a Christian? How are you a Christian? Well, I don't steal, I don't kill people, you know. I may have lied, I may have cheated, but, you know, I didn't do bad things. I didn't do those horrible things that they had, that other people do, right? That was my definition of a Christian, a faithful person, right? I had it so wrong. Not until I studied the Bible and actually knew what it meant to be a faithful person that I actually got it right. You know, and I ask a lot of people the same thing, you know, how do you define yourself as a faithful person? They give me the same answers. I don't kill, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't steal. But church, I'm standing here, people who are visiting, I'm standing here to tell you, yeah, that's great that you don't do these things, but that doesn't make you faithful. That makes you a good person. You know, and it's great, you know, some people might have great reasons or good reasons why, you know, they do these good things, but they don't know, they didn't get the concept of what it means to be faithful, or they never found the truth of what it meant. So, standing here today, reading verse 2, you know, it gives you plainly how to define yourself as a faithful person. You know, a faithful person is someone who fixes their eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
A person whose life imitates Jesus. A person who wants to be more and more like Jesus every day.
Yeah.
You know, and why do we want to do this? You can take a look at John 14, verse 6. You know, Jesus is the way, the only way to the Father.
Yes.
There's no other way there. You know? So I do have a video I want to show you guys, because we're about to get into why should we imitate Jesus? So you can go ahead and hit that.
Kobe.
They are just a standard that's above in all cases.
If you electronically switched the uniforms and played that speed, you would not have been able to tell who was who.
You guys get the point, though, right? Let me stop it. You guys get the point. Image by image, move by move, he totally imitated Jordan. The best player to ever play, right? You think about it, it's like, if Kobe came up with his own moves, would he have been as successful as he was there? We would have won 5 rings. Yeah, he had Shaq. Yeah, you know, it's questionable, it's arguable, but those moves that he had, he learned from Jordan,
yeah.
Right? How much more do we have to imitate Jesus?
Come on.
How much more image by image do we have to look like Jesus?
Good point.
As people of faith, sorry guys. Yep, got it. Yeah, Kobe definitely imitated Jesus. But here's what it looks like to imitate Jesus, right? I'm sorry guys. Sharing our faith, right? Sharing the Bible with people who are lost. That was Jesus, basically, most of his ministry is seeking the lost. Having that uncomfortable talk with people. Making the sacrifice for time, money, pleasure, possessions to help others. Standing up for injustice. Loving others. Helping the poor. These are just a small portion of what Jesus did day by day, right? And we can do these things with faith and confidence that God's going to work through it. But we forget the reason why we're doing it. We're forgetting that we need to look like Jesus. Then there's no point. We lost the whole concept. Like the person who just thinks, oh, I'm a Christian, I don't do bad things.
Come on.
So you really think about that, just like, wow. You know, campus ministry 3 years ago got rocked, you know? And we've been trying to recover and just trying to be more like Jesus at each and every day. And not only campus ministry, young pro ministry, you know? Sin has just really destroyed it. But we're recovering. We're getting back. You know, we're trying to be more like Jesus every day.
Come on.
So with that, we're going to get into point two. The long view of life. Now, church, people visiting, as most of you guys know, being faithful is not going to be peaches and cream. It's not going to be a walk in the park, and it's not going to be easy. You know, with faith comes obstacles. You know, for the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross.
Yes.
Scorning its shame of the cross and our sin, for what? For the joy to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. As people of faith, we need to look past the immediate.
Come on.
Sometimes we just focus too much on the immediate. Like, our focus is just like, all right, what am I going through now? And we need to see past that. Like I said, Jesus saw the long run. He saw the future. He saw the joy of going back to his Father. He saw how destructive and how this world was going to end. And he's like, yeah, I want to be back with my Father, but I want you guys to be with me.
Yes.
When I go there. His obstacle was the cross. Imagine Jesus getting to the cross and stopping, like, nah, I'm good. This is too much. This immediate is just too much for me. We wouldn't be here, guys.
That's right.
We wouldn't be here. And you can see it in Matthew 26, how much he struggled with it. Matthew 26, 37 to 38, he was filled with sorrow to the point of death. And he struggled. He went on his face and prayed to his Father. But he kept his eyes on the long run, on the joy set before him,
yes,
on being with God again.
Yes.
Guys, church, we are waiting for the same thing Jesus waited for. We want to be back with our Father, our Creator. We want to be back in heaven. But we aren't imitating Jesus, we're not going to get there.
Right.
We're going to be here. You know, this part in verse 2, the challenge is because for so long, I let my emotions define my faith. I only saw the immediate, not the long run. Not the joy that's going to be set before me when I'm back with my Father. I didn't see how Jesus was working on my molding my character. You know, Romans 5:4, you know, perseverance. Perseverance, you know, that produces character and character hope. You know, I didn't see that. For so long, I was so blind to it. And now I'm here, not only preaching to you guys, but preaching to myself, that the long run is what we need to look for,
yeah,
not the immediate.
Yeah.
So church, visitors, if we want to define ourselves as faithful people, we need to imitate Jesus. We can't be people who just don't want to do bad things.
Right.
And we need to see the long run.
Yeah.
We can't just focus on the immediate. And then when we do these things and we define ourselves with these two points, we'll be in eternity with Christ. We'll be in eternity with our Father. Thank you guys, I love you.
Such an honor to be doing this sermon with brothers Nick and John. And what I'm going to be picking up at is in verse 3. So Hebrews 12, verse 3. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Yes. Yes.
And so I'm just basically going to elaborate more of what's been said. And Nick talked about throw off everything that easily hinders, and then he talked about perseverance, and then John talked about, you know, on the long run. We're going to be talking about endurance through faith.
Come on.
You know, as he shared, John shared that, you know, having faith is not easy. And looking at the definition of endurance, Merriam-Webster says, the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, and then having the ability to sustain prolonged stressful effort or activity. Now, when I read that, I was like, yeah, that describes my work every day. Withstand hardship and sustain prolonged stressful effort and activity. It's like, That's perseverance and endurance, everyday life. But, you know, endurance by itself depends highly on your ability and strength. Now, what I'm going to share about is endurance through faith. You know, it doesn't depend on your own ability. It actually depends on God's strength.
Yes.
And so, as been shared already, Jesus set the best example as a person who walked on water, turned water into wine, and many more miraculous signs. You know, he depended on God quickly. On Hebrews 5, verse 7, shows here, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Two more examples in Luke 5, verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 6, 12 says, one of those days Jesus went through a went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. So this is the best example that we can look at as far as endurance, you know, considering Jesus who came down from heaven, he had the ability and power to have faith in himself to do great things. But as you see here, he didn't depend on his own strength. He went, you know, often withdrew to a lonely place to pray. You know, there were times where he prayed all night and then just really crying out to God because he knew himself that he can't do it by himself.
Yeah.
Right? And so, he didn't, you know, Jesus did not have faith on his own abilities, on his own strength, but really letting God work through him. And that played a major role in what he had to go through. There's so many scriptures, but I'm not going to read it. You know, Jesus, as he was starting his ministry, as he was leading up to the cross, he had to go through hurtful stuff. He was abandoned. He was betrayed, wrongly accused, physically and emotionally beaten, and hurt by the ones that he loved. You know, he was even mocked, spit on to the people that he's actually trying to save. You know, as John shared, you know, he wasn't really focused on the immediate. He wasn't reacting to what he's feeling at the moment because he had his eyes on the prize. You know, as people spat on him, as people mocked him and beat him, he was thinking about, I can save them.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really challenging to follow. Because us humans, when something happens, we react right away. As you're driving, someone cuts you off, boom, that's it. You know, you react, your emotions. And for me, I get like, what's this guy doing? What are you thinking? You know, not just that, but everyday life, you know, at work, at school, we react. But we see here Jesus, you know, his example is him really looking at the prize.
Yes.
And for me, out of the group, I'm actually the oldest physically and spiritually. So with the Young Pros and Campus, I've been a disciple for 16 years now. And I'm going to turn 17 next month. And so all I can say within almost 17 years as a disciple is it's been a blessing. Because there's so much that happened in my life that I don't even think that I'll be here if it wasn't for God. There's so many trials and so much that I went through with life, you know, it's not just me, everyone does. You know, life throws us so much that even being a disciple, having that faith, we're not immune to the hardships of the world. You know, even Jesus had to go through so much. You know, how much more we have to expect that. And so, for the past 16 years, just examples of what I went through, you know, seeing my sister walk away from the faith, losing my father, you know, moving from one place to another, involved in major sins, committing more sins as a Christian, seeing my fellow brothers and sisters walk away, and going through depression. Since I'm a slow bloomer, you know, I didn't graduate college, so like I'm always questioning my identity. And even taking a while to get a job. And there's so many things that that could have affected me, you know, made me feel weary and lose heart. But thank God, you know, He blessed me with men and women that would encourage me that it's not about my strength, that I don't have to go through this with my own abilities because God is right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, because when I share what, you know, what I went through, it sounds like, yes, I kept relying on myself. You know, that, oh, I view myself as this person that hasn't graduated college in a certain age, or doesn't have a job in a certain age, or not making as much money as a certain age. Not even, you know, just matching myself, comparing myself to others, where God is like, just come to me. You know, but I thank God because He blessed me with so many men and women, you know, most of you are sitting here. That reminded me who God is and how powerful God is. That it's not about how many times I fall or I'm not making it there yet, but it's about God is still not done with me.
Amen.
And so,
right.
I want to share this video. Don't play it. most of you know this video. I've seen it in YouTube or Facebook. It's about 1992 Olympics in Barcelona. This guy named Derek Redmond. The event was about a 400-meter race, and this guy was favored to medal. But this is the part of the race that he was running for the semifinal. And so, it's a guy with the... He's fourth over there. He's running, and so he looked great. He started out great. Then he heard a pop. After three strides, he felt the searing pain. Tore his hamstring. Years of training come down to this. When you're favored to medal. Just disappointment and the hurt. So he tried to limp his way in, going for to finish the race. But as you see in a few moments, there's a guy that started coming for him. It was his father. Symbolizes us and God.
Yes.
You know, without faith, we can just limp our way through life and not really finish. But with faith in God, having God in our life, you see the symbolism over there.
Yes.
He broke through security just to reach out to His Son.
Yes.
You know, God is doing the same thing for us. Sometimes we rely on ourselves, we rely on our own ability to go through life, but we really can't. You know, when it seems like everything is going right, we start up great, we build ourselves up, you know, our pride is on the line, and then something happens, tore hamstring, life happens, death of a family member, losing a job, just people not following the same beliefs as you do. So many things that can make you weary and lose heart. And so, but with God, you know, as Jesus set a great example for us to lean on God, to lean on His strength, not our own strength. You know, as to close us up, you know, if you're visiting, I just want to encourage you, get to know God.
Yeah.
You know, as you see how he helped his son over there, you know, in life, it's so indescribable how much weight and how much free you become when you lean on his strength. You know, ask questions and we can definitely help you get to know him, show you the Bible. And as disciples, let's continue to hold on to our faith.
Yes.
Let's lean on God's strength, lean on to his own understanding. Let's help each other to find strength in God, because we can't do it on our own. So therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Yes.
To God to be the glory, God. Let's go to God and pray. Father, we come before you as Father, we are just so thankful for your love, for your mercy and your grace, God. This life, we can't do it on our own, God. There's so many things that can distract us, that can throw us off from following you, that can really distract us from looking at your son, God. But you set the great example for us, Father. Your son come in here, showing us the way, Father. Help us to follow him. Help us to really get to know how to follow him and continue to follow him, Father God. Help us not to lean on our own strength, on our own abilities, Father. Help us to really see the capabilities, the potential of letting you in our hearts, leaning into your love and strength.
Yes.
Father God, please bless the rest of our days. As we pray. Amen.
Amen.